Exodus being the second book of the Old Testament. And we are in Exodus. For the sake of time, I will not turn you to Genesis 15. But really, Genesis 15 sets the stage for what we see in the first part of the book of Exodus. In Genesis chapter 15, God promised Abraham that his children would be imprisoned and taken captive for 400 years. And for all those years, 400, that's a long time. So you stop and think about how many years 400 years are from today. A lot has happened. America wasn't even existing as far as United States of America 400 years ago. And yet God made a prophecy that in 400 years he would deliver the children of Israel and bring them out of Egypt. And of course, Moses was the key person of that promise. We looked at the early education of Moses and how he was raised. We saw his choice. He chose the people of God and their afflictions over the pleasures of sin for a season. We saw the advanced training of Moses, which lasted 40 years. And so now we come to the point where we're going to see at the end of that 40 years, God is going to meet Moses at the burning bush. So I want to read something, and again, I've been incredibly blessed. I've had these books on my shelves for years, and so I thought, well, since I'm dealing with the person of Moses, I'll read these, and I've been reading them. I got four volumes of this, and but Theodore Epp says this. He says, at the burning bush, God transformed Moses from an unknown desert shepherd into the greatest and best known leader until Jesus Christ appeared. Moses probably did the greatest work that any person has ever done, including that of the Apostle Paul. And although Paul was a tremendous missionary, he was not called of God to lead about 3 million people into a desert where they would have to be taken care of by God himself or perish. Now, if you weigh heavily what he had just said and what you're going to see in the life of Moses, when he delivers the children of Israel, it was God who did that. And so this evening, I want to talk about the call of Moses. The call of Moses. We're going to see chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to see how God worked in calling this man. It took 80 years to get him to the place where he was usable. And I do want to reiterate the quote that D.L. Moody gave, supposedly, which said Moses spent his first 40 years thinking he was somebody. He spent his second 40 years learning he was a nobody. And he spent his last 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. So we're going to see here regarding this call of Moses and how God brought him to this point. And of course, there's application for us. Number one, I want you to know Moses met God's qualifications for service at this point. Because according to Acts chapter 7, when he saw the burning bush, he was now 80 years of age. It took 80 years to get Moses to this point. We talked about how Moses was in the elementary school, and then he went to high school, and he went to college, and he ended up doing his graduate program in the desert. And what we're actually seeing here is his graduation day. This is his commencement. I don't know if you've ever been to a graduation and they have a commencement exercise. What are they saying? They're saying, okay, young people, you have done the study. Go out. Get it done. That's what they're supposed to be saying. And of course, sometimes they stand there and the speech goes on and on and on and on and on and they're ready to go. Here is Moses' commencement exercise. This is his commissioning service. Notice what we're told in chapter 3, in verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Now, I want to point out two qualifications which made Moses qualified. First of all, he was to take off his shoes. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Why take off your shoes? Well, verse 5 tells us that, and Theodore Epp says this, shoes, because they are related to the feet, remind us of self-activity. And this characterizes Moses in his early years. And he lived a very active life. He was a go-getter. He was a leader. He could have been, according to tradition, he could have been the next Pharaoh. And Epp goes on and says, during the 40 years in the desert, he learned to wait on God and to be what he ought to be, which is what we talked about last week, rather than concerned about doing. And it is an interesting idea here to realize that it was just him and God. It's not do so much as what he is. Now we know there's a good example of that in the New Testament, don't we? The New Testament describes for us the story of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 42. And remember, we're told that Martha was cumbered about with much what? You know these stories. Much serving. And basically, she says to Jesus, tell my sister to get to work. Because what was she doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered and you're concerned about many things, but Mary has chosen the best thing. Now that's an interesting lesson to learn. That we can be so busy doing things for God that we don't take time to spend with God, right? So what did God have to do to Moses? God had to take Moses out of the limelight, out of busy activity, and put him out in the desert where he could spend a lot of time talking to God. So he was now qualified because he recognized that he himself is nothing. And we know in the fact, in the following verses in 3 and 4, that he basically said, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. Do you know what you're doing? That's a good question. A lot of people, oh, I can do it. They can't do it. And the fact is, one of the things that has to qualify us with God is to recognize that without God, we can do zero. And Jesus makes that very clear, that without me, you can do nothing. So not only was he told to take off his shoes, but we're told in verse 6 that he hid his face. And it tells us here in verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now again, Epp says this, by nature man wants to turn his face to the limelight. Too often we are guilty of working, he says, for the applause of men. And we are too concerned about the reaction of others to what we are doing. And like Moses, we too need to hide ourselves, he says, in the consciousness of our unworthiness. This is what Epp says. So in other words, Moses recognized God is big, I'm very, very little. 40 years earlier, yeah, we need to deliver these Israelites. Boom, I'm going to kill this guy. And God sent him out into the desert for 40 years. And as we said last week, how often have we been set aside for a while? Hopefully not 40 years. And God begins to work through us and in us before he can work in a way that can use us. We see this in the scripture, Job 42, 5 and 6. Job says, regarding God, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, now my eye sees thee. I abhor myself in dust and ashes. Jim Berg used to say, are you a big godder or a little godder? Is God real big and you're little, or is he little and you're real big? And we need to understand that God wants to qualify us. It's interesting. It doesn't say God gave him all these abilities. What God had to do is humble this man. Have you ever been humbled? Pride comes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. And God wants to humble us. So he was qualified now. The second thing I want you to see, not only do we see how Moses was qualified, we're going to see how Moses heard God's voice in order to serve. Now, if you notice here, he recognized the miraculous instrument of God's voice. Now, this is an interesting thing. In verse 3, and Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great thing. What great thing? He saw a bush. It was an ordinary bush. But it wouldn't burn up. It wouldn't disintegrate. And it's an interesting thing that God was able to take material matter and not let it be destroyed in fire. Moses knew that this was really strange. This was a miracle. Because God wanted his attention. Now, all we have to do is remind ourselves of hell. Do you realize the Bible talks about everlasting fire where material matter will not be destroyed? So God is certainly able to do that. So the Bible tells us that it was in this scenario that God spoke. And we're told in verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, he called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. So God spoke to him. Wouldn't it be neat, wouldn't you like that, to be able to just walk down the street and you see some bush on fire when burned up and look over at it and God says, Darren, or David, or Sandy, you know, I could go through each one of us. We'd say, boy, it'd be wonderful if God spoke to us. Well, how does God speak to us? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. And so we know that God is speaking to us. Now, folks, this is what I want you to get tonight. God is speaking to us. It isn't Pastor Byford has a little speech. God has a desire to speak to you. How does He speak? You said, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that is God breathed. And God has breathed into His Word, all Scripture. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And it is more powerful than a burning bush. It is more powerful than the transfiguration appearance of Christ, 2 Peter 1. It is more powerful than if somebody rose from the dead, Luke 16. So it is important that we understand that we need to recognize that God speaks to you and me through the Bible. Now, do you see God's Word as a miracle? It's always fun, isn't it, to go back and study the miracle of the existence of the Bible. It's a miracle. We don't have time to go through those miracles, but suffice it to say that God used Moses to recognize the miraculous instrument of His voice. And the miraculous instrument of God's voice is God's Word. So he recognized the instrument. He paid attention to God's Word. Look at verse 3. He says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. So he had gotten his attention. You know, we in our Sunday school class, we go through a little outline that says, okay, you got a Sunday school lesson. What is your attention getter? Well, what is God's attention getter? The burning bush. And interesting, Moses did not take this miraculous instrument lightly. He paid attention. Which I would imagine you and I would too. You know, we saw something burning and it's not being devoured. Why is that happening? I've often told the story, and I'll, for the sake of repetition, I'll warn you, but of the young man who went out on the sidewalk and wanted to do some street preaching, and he took his Bible, laid it on the ground, and he yelled, "It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!" And one person, two people came up, and he said, "It's alive! It's alive!" And more people came around. And he got up, and he said, "The Bible is alive." Now there's an attention getter. Do that at work and see what happens. Now, when we truly see how miraculous God's Word is, and that God speaks to us in it, we should intensely listen to it when we read it, and yes, even when the preacher is preaching it. And it's an interesting thing. Jesus said in Luke 8:18, "Take heed how you hear." He tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as a result, Jesus gives the parable of the sower. We're preaching on this Sunday morning. And He gives the sower. Why? To illustrate how some people in the pew or out in the workplace or in the soul-winning environment, evangelistic meetings, He gives the types of people who listen. And this is why at the end of chapter 8 of Luke, He said, take heed how you hear. Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear. So he paid attention to God's Word. He recognized the miraculous instrument of God's Word. He paid attention to God's Word. He trembled at the Word of God. Look at verse 6. It says, he said, I am the God of Father. And the end of that verse, and he hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Acts chapter 7, and we won't take you over there, but in Acts chapter 7, verse 32, it tells us Moses trembled when he heard the voice of God. And when he was convinced that God was speaking, it affected his attitude. Now, I can get up here and talk and give a little speech, and I can talk about about Mother Goose and the elections and how Joe Biden did the other night and how Bernie Sanders did the other. I could give a little speech like that. And you may say, man, I don't even care about that. But when the Word of God is being spoken and you're looking at your cell phone, there is something wrong. Now, unless you're looking at the Scripture. But there is something wrong. Because that tells me that somehow we've come to the place where this is common. This isn't that big of a deal. When Jesus was on the boat and the storm came, and everybody is like, whoa, we're going to drown here. And all of a sudden Jesus comes out there and says, halt! And the winds and the waves stop. Do you think he got their attention? Sure he did. It says in Matthew 8:27, they marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? The other morning, and I'll share this with you, we had a visitor, and during the whole invitation, while everybody's head bowed and closed, eyes are closed, she looked at me the whole time. And I thought, this person probably needs to be saved. The service ended, and she came up to me and said, thank you for preaching all the Word of God. So, what I'm saying is, it could have been the same sermon that put you to sleep. But we need to pay attention. And this is what God was trying to show us here. And when you and I see God's Word as the Word of God, it'll change our attitude. So we see Moses was qualified. We see that Moses heard the voice of God. But I want to thirdly show that Moses recognized God's plan of service. Now, it's interesting because when you look in verses 7 through 9, it tells us, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land, into a good land, into a large, into the land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come upon me, and I have also seen oppression whereby the Egyptians oppress them. And I can imagine Moses saying, it's about time. Get them, Lord! 400 years! God saw their need and planned to deliver them. Now, does God have a plan to deliver the ungodly? Does He? Sure He does. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Peter 2:4, God would have all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the word of truth. John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I can see that Moses was glad about that message, and I'm hearing amens already. Good job. Yes, God, do it! You know, and we do that. And we ought to do that. I want to see people saved. I want to see people delivered from that hell that is never going to quench the soul. And if we are saved, our hearts should be excited about that. But I want you to see, after God outlined His plan, God chose Moses to accomplish this. Verse 10, "Come now, therefore," God says to Moses, "I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth My people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now, based on verses 11 and following, Moses thought, all right. See, this is the difference between an 80-year-old Moses and a 40-year-old Moses. You know, sometimes someone says something and that someone ought to do it, do something about it. And someone says, well, why don't you do something about it? Well, wait a minute. I remember one time going to church and the sign was in our church. This is in Michigan. I'm riding to church with my brother and the church sign was falling down or something. I forget what was going on. And I said to my brother Ron, someone needs to fix that sign. And my brother Ron says, yeah, why don't you do it? Wait a minute. I'm for someone doing it. So, Moses tried early in his life and failed. But now it was God's plan to use him. John chapter 15. Can we go over there? John chapter 15, we're done with Exodus. John 15, and I got to try to bring this to a close. John chapter 15, and then I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll be done. John chapter 15, notice, just as God chose Moses, guess what, folks? This is an awakening call. John chapter 15, verse 16. Can we read this verse together? Let's read this out loud together. John 15, verse 16. "Ye have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it to you." All right, so, God, it's wonderful that people need to get saved, and You've given the gospel, You've given Jesus. And God says, I've chosen you to go do it. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll bring this to an end. Verse 17 tells us, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. Verse 18, "The things of God who hath reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ." Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it's wonderful. "But He hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit," or that is, "that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." You know, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him. And we can talk a lot about our commitment to Christ, but do you realize God has a commitment for you? And what is that commitment? To go into the world and give the word of reconciliation. So, we find that Moses, interestingly enough, was given the plan, but when God turned his finger to Moses, he's going to say, uh-oh. Why is it that 95% of Christians, statistically, don't give the gospel to people? I don't know if I can answer that. But I have a suspicion that a lot of people are saying, God, it's wonderful that people can get saved. And God says, I want you to do it. And we say, uh-oh, I'm too shy. And we're going to look at the excuses of Moses. But this is the call. And God says, I have chosen you. So what do you got to do to be qualified? Just be humble. Don't let your pride keep you from worrying about what people think. Don't let your pride, don't let your selfishness get in your way. It's not you doing it anyway. God doesn't need great preachers. He needs usable servants. And He wants us to recognize what a wonderful opportunity we have to give the gospel. And this is why the second point is so valuable. How seriously do we take His voice? How seriously do we hear His voice? Now, Lord, thank You so much for this night. Thank You for the opportunity to pray. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the ability to be able to study this incredible man, Moses. A man who was a somebody, who recognized he was a nobody, and how You showed us through him how You can use a nobody for You. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. The